in my greatest adventure. Well, let's pray first. Let's pray. Father God, we do thank you this morning. Thank you for being here. Thank you for allowing us to be here. And Father, we pray that you continue to bless us, Lord, this morning as we look to the Word of God and testimony and what you're doing. Keep us cool, Lord. Keep the heat from us. And we want to feel that cool of the day with you, Lord, this morning. And Lord, we pray and bless the offering as we give when we leave and those who give online. Lord, bless it and allow us to continue to use it for the furtherance of the gospel. And we thank you, Lord, and we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Anyways, I will say this, and as you know, I went on vacation Sunday. We left Sunday. Our destination was Santa Cruz, and my son and my daughter-in-law, Steve and Julie, they really blessed us. It was amazing, and I was able to be with my three oldest grandkids in the motorhome. So there was like seven of us in this 23-foot mini Winnebago that only sleeps six. And if you count me, I'm two, so that's eight, nine. So anyways, I'll tell you this, that on the way I got three flat tires, and just right before we go to Santa Cruz 3 days, the motorhome broke down completely. So we were stranded in Solvang, and so it's a little Dutch town. The three flat tires, I'm going to say this. One, I was really upset. The second one, I was laughing about. Or actually, one, I was laughing about it. And the third, the other one, I was like, yes, Lord, thank you for the flat tire. Okay? And the reason why is because the very first flat tire we got was outside of Mission Viejo. I spent 8 hours in an AM PM market waiting for someone to come fix that tire. 8 hours. It was awful. I didn't like it one bit. Finally, I got to the point where I told my wife and my grandkids and my Julie, take an Uber to the hotel because they were only like 45 minutes away. Just take an Uber to the hotel and stay there, and eventually everybody go, I'll just sit here and rot. You know? I'll sit here and I'll wait. But my son and my youngest grandson, Samuel, he said, no, I want to stay. So it was three of us. But you know what the funny thing about it is that we were there till like after midnight. The woman in A&P market, she kept coming out smoking a cigarette, and I'd go out and talk to her. And she would come out, you still here? And I said, yeah, but you know what? Right before she went home, she came and she said, she knocked, we were there sitting, and she came up and she'd hear. And she fed us some rib sandwiches from the store. I was like laughing. I was bummed because I already ate and I was so full and they smelled good. Yeah. She came and said, here, I want to give you guys this. And she fed us. And so finally the guy, no, I didn't understand why our company, my insurance company, called the tow truck to fix our tire all the way from Marietta. Okay, so that's the first. Now, the second flat tire we got outside of Santa Barbara, I believe it was. That one I was like, thank you, Lord, for giving me this flat tire, because I was able to witness to the manager. I gave the gospel to the manager. I gave the gospel to the assistant manager. Share Christ with them. And they agreed with everything I said. Agreed. And they thought I was religious. They said, oh, I have a religious friend. I said, I'm not religious. You're not? No, I have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Oh, that makes sense. And I said, if you were to die right now, would you go to heaven? I hope so. No, you don't have to say you hope. You can say you know so. Amen. And I told them exactly. I gave them the gospel plan. And they said, you know what? That's right. He goes, that sounds right. So right there, I was more happy. I was like, okay, this is worth it. Paying for that tire to get fixed, it was worth it. Then the third one was, I laughed at it Because after everything is said and done, we finally got back. I got back Monday, late Monday night, 11:30. I came to church here. I brought the motor home because I was going to go take it, and I was going to dump it, you know, because we used it up in at Mission Bay. On my way, 5:30 on my way there, I'm driving in the motorhome in the slow lane going, you know, 65. All of a sudden, it just died just like that right there. And I'm like, you know, when your car dies, you have no power. But I was able to pull over right before where 5 and 8 meet. And the shoulder was maybe a little bigger than this. The motorhome actually, it was like took the whole shoulder. So when I pulled over, I was pulling over, I noticed this storm drain right there. And I noticed that there's a concrete. It was made out of concrete and obviously the metal or whatever it is for the drain. And when I pulled over, that concrete hit the brand new tire that I fixed, popped it. And I laughed my heart off. I laughed, so I was laughing. And I'm like, well, okay, Lord, this is funny. You got a sense of humor. I just fixed that tire and it popped. Well, finally, I called my insurance company, and the guy says, okay, the guy will be there in 20 minutes. I said, tell him it's a heavy-duty vehicle, and it takes a special socket to get the spare off. The guy comes, and he's in a tow truck, but he has a star in his hand, you know, a star to change tires. And I'm looking, and I'm laughing inside my mind, say, dude, you are not going to get the tires off with that. And he walks over, and he starts, he's like, he's really straining, and I'm just sitting there laughing in my mind. And then he looks at me, he goes over to the spare, he goes, I don't have a socket to get that out. And I said, didn't they tell you? No. And he says, I'm sorry, but I can't do this. You have to get somebody else. And so now I'm laughing with God, okay. It's dark time. I went at 5. It's getting later now. And then so she calls me back. She says, okay, I got another driver, but he's outside of Escondido. He'll be there. And I'm like, what? I said, lady, this is San Diego County. You're telling me you can't get someone right down the street? I have to get someone from Escondido to come and change my tire? I said, okay, 45 minutes. She called me back 20 minutes. Well, he called. He says he doesn't have any power tools to change your tire. So now I have to find somebody else. I said, never mind. I said, that's okay. I can call my friend. He'll come here with his power tools, and I can change it myself. So never mind, cancel it, and I'm going to go with a different provider. And I called my brother Papa John, you know. He came, and he brought the tools, and we changed it. It took a bit, but we got it done. Now, what happened in Solvay, and I'm saying this because this is the lesson I learned, and it ties in with what I want to say this morning. When we got to Solvay, and it's like a 5-hour drive, the reduced engine power light came on, and the motorhome had no power. When we arrived there, I parked on the outside of the hotel. We stayed in the hotel from, Tuesday and Wednesday, and then we were leaving Thursday. Am I right? Is that correct, Stevie? Julie? Yeah, right? Okay. It broke. It kind of wouldn't. It had no power. So we left it there. We went in. We were doing our thing. And every morning I come out, I check the same thing. Well, I was really, this is where, guys, your prayers help, because I struggled with God. I was wrestling. I had a battle with the Lord because I couldn't understand why he did this. I'm with my family. I want to have a good time with my family. And I don't understand, Lord, why are you doing this to me? I wrestled with him. I had a hard time, and I was mad with God. I felt like Jonah. I was mad with God, and I didn't understand. And then finally, they said, you know what, let's just rent a car. Let's just go. Let's finish off our vacation. Let's go to Santa Cruz. We'll leave the motorhome here, and we'll just rent a car. And finally, I was at the point, okay, that's fine. I don't care whatever happens to the motorhome. Whatever happens, happens. They rented a car. And this is how mad I was, guys. And I'm going to be honest with you. You know, sometimes the flesh can get the best of you. No matter who you are. When we pray, Julie and them, they said, let's pray. When we prayed, everybody said amen. I didn't even say amen. Right? So this is Jonah. I felt like Jonah. I didn't even acknowledge it. I just was mad. We got in the rental car. We went to Santa Cruz. The surprise was, they had a surprise for myself, but mostly for Carmen, because it was her birthday, August 7th. the surprise was they were taking us. They said, we're taking you to the surprise. So we got the rental car. We went to the, there was a campground. And I thought, well, did you rent a cabin? Because we have no motorhome. And they said, no, no, we're not going there. We actually went off this dirt road. It was a couple miles down. I don't know how far it was. It was far. And the dirt road was, you know, all bumpy. And it was very small road. The motorhome probably would have not fit. There's no way, branches and everything. When I went down, we went down, I realized if we would have taken the motorhome, we would have got stuck. We would have never made it. And because there's no room for two vehicles, we would have, probably would have to drive backwards just to get it out that far, far length of road. What they did is they took us horseback riding at a ranch in the boonies in the mountains for an hour and a half. It was awesome. Had a great time. Oh, man, was I hurting, though. Woo, it was hard. So then we left there. We went to Santa Cruz. We were in a hotel on the beach right there with a pier. There was no way, no parking for any vehicles, let alone the vehicle we had. So I realized, here's the lesson I learned. I realized that even when you don't see God in your circumstance, He's still working. He allowed this to happen because He knew we couldn't get that motor home down in the canyons. We would have been stuck, and there's no reception, no phone reception. And He knew that we would not be able to finish off our vacation at Santa Cruz because we couldn't park it anywhere. He knew it. I didn't know it at the time. I was mad. But when I realized that, I realized that even when you're mad at God, I think God sometimes understands. He still loves you. Amen. He loved me. And he gave me this love that was, in spite of what I was feeling against Him or what I was going through, but I realized the steps of the righteous are ordered by God. So I was excited. So praise God. Now here's the funny part. After we left Santa Cruz, we went back to the hotel. I just say, oh, whatever happens. If the motorhome's there, fine. If it isn't towed, that's fine. If it has a ticket, that's fine. I don't care anymore because I was just so happy to be with my son, my daughter-in-law, my grandkids. I was having a great time. When we got there, I thank the Lord for the love of the brethren, for you guys praying for us, but for John willing to. We could not find the part. The motorhome, the part we needed was obsolete. They don't make it anymore. And I said, what do you mean you don't make it? What year is this, sir? This is 2020. What year is your motorhome? 2002. We're talking almost 20 years old. They don't make it no more. He called all over, every place, Chevy dealers, junkyards, auto parts store, everywhere, other mechanic shops. No, everybody said the same thing. They don't make it no more. We don't have it. And so I'm thinking, okay, God, what am I going to do? So I told the family, just take the rent a car, go home. I'll stay here in the motorhome. Whatever happens, I'll just wait until I can fix it. I'll be homeless or whatever. And so they did. I called John and Brother John. Man, this is the love for the brethren. I was so blessed. He says, hey, we're finding the part down here. We found a part in the junkyard. He says, it'll be in by Monday. The minute I get it into my hands, I'm on my way up there to help you. Man, I was like, this burden off my shoulders left. And I was like, thank you, Lord. The love of the brethren. He came up. We were taking apart the motor home inside. We took the cover off inside where the motor was. And guess what was in there? It was a bird's nest. It gets better. The bird made a nest inside the motor home. We cleared that out. We got the part off. We looked at the part we needed. The part he brought up, it was the wrong part. So we bought a new air filter. John cleaned out the old part. It was the throttle body. He cleaned it out. We put it all together. I turned it on. Back to normal. Nothing was wrong with it. I drove it back home. So this is why I know that this was God. He allowed this to happen so that we wouldn't get worse. Things wouldn't happen over here. And he fixed it. And we went home. So don't ever doubt that when you don't see God in your circumstance, or if you don't see God there, he's still working.
Amen.
Amen. So why don't you open up your books, Bibles to Luke chapter 6 as we continue to systematically go through the Word of God. And again, I don't have my time. I might not remember. So some of the brothers and everybody's going to tell me when to stop. I don't want you to be out here in the hot. So Luke chapter 6. And I'll tell you why that kind of fits in and everything. If you remember, 2 weeks ago, we left off where we were looking at the Galilee ministry of Jesus, right? And we left off where Jesus was teaching to those who, he said, to those who wanted to listen. And those who were there were his 12. Remember, he just picked the 12 disciples. He just picked them, and we're talking about there's Luke, Peter, Andrew, James, John, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, Simon, Judas, and Judas Iscariot, the traitor. That's when you're supposed to go, boo, you know. Okay, and Judas the traitor. Yeah, there's that like that cartoon. What's that one bad guy? Snaggly Whiplash. Every time he came on, you hear boo, you know. But also, not only the 12 that he chose, but there were many other disciples or many other followers of Jesus that were there to see and to hear him. And there were others who would hear him, but not listen to what he was teaching. And I think that's important. When you're listening to the Word of God, don't just be a hearer of what pastor is saying or whatever someone is saying. You got to be a doer of it as well. Because those who just listen, you miss out. You miss out on what God wants to do. And so Jesus told them in 6 verse 27, he says, "But I say to you who hear." In other words, he says, listen. Listen to what I'm saying. And he began to teach them. And remember, I'm going to bring this up again because I think this is important because it helps us to understand and accept what we're going to talk about next. So I'm going to bring into remembrance 2 weeks ago, Jesus, he gave them five principles or these five behaviors that they should live by. And obviously when he's talking to his disciples and those that were there, he's talking to us, right? Isn't that how we receive it? When he talks, when he mentions the Bible's talking, he's talking to us as a church. So he gives five principles. And if you remember, the first principle was found in 27, where he says, love your enemies. Wow, man, that, you know, again, I mentioned that was a hard thing to do. Love your enemies. And back then, if it's hard now, you can imagine how it was back then, because their enemies suppressed it, the Jews. The Romans, and I mentioned this, they were enslaved and treated real badly. For Jesus to say, I want you to love them. Oh, man, we ain't having that. The second principle, he says, not only love them, but do good. So not only you have to love them, but by loving them with this godly love, that's going to cause you to do good to them. And then the third principle, he said in verse 28, he said, bless those who curse you. So he says, love them. And when you love them, that brings on doing good to them. And when you do good to them, that brings on blessing them. And so, and that's going to lead into the fourth principle in verse 28, where he says, now that you bless them, I also want you to pray for those who spitefully use you. So there's this pattern that of principles that if you do one, the other ones, they all fall into place. Now, doesn't Jesus say that if you first seek the kingdom of heaven, then everything falls into place? Isn't that the truth? When you follow after the Word of God, it's all going to fall into place. So the fourth principle, he says, pray for those who spitefully use you. Pray for them. And you know, Jesus is not just talking about those who spitefully speak spitefully towards you, because he said, bless those who curse you. But he's talking about also those who spitefully use you as well. And so, again, those who mistreat you, pray for their salvation. Pray that the Lord will forgive them just like he forgave you. Pray that you won't be like them. That's important, because you know how you can get mad when someone does something to you. And if you're not watchful, if you're not in the spirit, if you forget who you are, you can become like them. And you can act like them. And it becomes what? Oh, especially in a marriage. Now, I'll be the first to say I've done this. where, okay, it's one of those where, okay, you throw this at me, okay, I'm going to throw this at you, and you throw this, and it's like the bat, you know, the bat theory where you get the bat, okay, you go like this, and you, who's going to be up first, and you go like this, and the one hits here, they're the winners. And so you don't want to be that way. And so Jesus said, again, pray for them. Pray for them and pray for yourself that you don't become bitter. You don't become angry. You don't become revengeful against those who might be persecuting you. Pray that they will see your example of the love of God in you. Pray that they'll see your example when you love them, when they're hating you, when you do good to them, when you bless them with your love and the love of Christ, and you will become a blessing to them. Pray for them. And then that leads to the fifth principle in verse 29. And he says to him who strikes you on the cheek, offer the other one also. Again, we're talking something that's very difficult to do. Jesus says, offer the other cheek. Now, the word cheek there, what he's talking about, it means that he's talking about the jawbone or the jaw. It refers to getting this strong blow. It's not a punch. It's not just a slap in the face. He says, and when they slap you in the face, now, in some countries, even today, but back then, when you were slapped in the face, that's an insult. That meant something, especially in the time when they had the armor and when they walked around with swords and everything. When you slap someone in the face, you disrespected them. You dishonored them, and it was a challenge. But it means more than that as well, not just a slap, somebody slapping or you on the face and dishonoring you or talking bad about you or humiliating you. Also, maybe the person who wants to physically injure you is who's coming after you. Jesus says, you got to turn the other cheek when it comes to defending the faith. Okay, when you're representing Jesus Christ and you go to someone, you say, hey, brother, you know Jesus loves you and he loves you so much. And make sure it goes that way. Okay. and if you tell him this and all of a sudden he looks at you and he goes, boom, and he decks you, well, then you get up and you turn around and you do a flying back kick on him and you knock him out. Where's the love of Christ? Do you win your brother to the Lord that way? Or you hold him in a headlock, accept Jesus right now, I ain't letting go. Accept him, oh, okay, tap out, come on, tap out, accept him. No, that brother's going to get up and eventually he's going to get revenge. And I'm going to tell you this, as a Christian, we don't fight like the world fights. If you try to fight like the world fights, you're going to lose. Because we have the conviction of the Holy Spirit. We have the power of God in us. We are different. And you can't fight like the world fights. I know, I've tried it many times. It doesn't work. It doesn't work because eventually you get convicted. So Jesus is saying, when it comes to defending the faith, you know what? Turn the other cheek. The best thing to do is walk away. If you're sharing the gospel and someone is being harsh with you and someone is coming down on you, the best thing for you to do is walk away. Don't give God a bad rap. Don't give your walk with the Lord a bad rap. Don't give Christianity a bad rap. Better for you to walk away. Now, if somebody just walking down the street, somebody physically attacks you or comes into your home, I don't think Jesus is saying, hey, turn the other cheek, let them do what they want. No, you have to defend your family. You have to defend yourself when it comes to evil. The Lord wants us to put on the armor of God. The Lord wants us to fend when it comes to evil people who want to harm you, who are there to rob, kill, and steal. You know, I'm not going to just say, okay, I'm going to turn the other cheek, do what you wish. No, they're going to have to come through me first. First, when they knock on my door and they say, hey, I'm here to rob, steal, and kill, I'm going to say, Jesus is for you. First, I'll say that. If they continue to come in, then they're going to have to get to me before they get to my wife and they get to my children and they get to anything else. But when it comes to the gospel, I was taught that you have to turn the other cheek. And I've learned that, and you guys know that testimony where I was out there witnessing. I knocked on that door and I was there witnessing about God and this guy opened the door. I said, how you doing? I'm Steve from Horizon, and I'm here to tell you that, you know, about Jesus. bam, slammed that door right in my face. I got so mad, and I said, I called him a jerk. You jerk. And I thought, the brother said, hey, brother, we need to talk. You're here representing Jesus Christ. You're representing the church. You're representing God. You're representing your faith, your everything that has to do with the Lord. And yet, because he didn't want to hear that, you fought like he fought. I was taking it personally. And they told me this. Jesus said this, if they hate you, it's because why? They hate me first. So what he was doing, he was shutting the door on Christ. Not me. I didn't realize that. So that's the fifth principle. Jesus said, him who strikes you on the one cheek, offer the other also. And then the sixth principle was in verse 29. It says, and from him who takes your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. In other words, don't hold back from them. And obviously, I mentioned that last week. Now, this is important. I'm reminding you of this, guys. Is back in Exodus 22, where it said the Jewish law did allow the inner garment of someone to be taken as a debt, as a payment, as a pledge, but never the outer garment. That's because most men, men, they might have several undergarments, but, you know, we only wear one outer garment. So, yeah, the guitar there, but the enemy there. I don't know. Just, we always spiritualize things, right? Okay, anyway, so now listen to what Matthew said in chapter 5, verse 41. Jesus said this in Matthew 5. He said, whoever compels you to go 1 mile, you what? You go 2 miles. Isn't that something? Jesus said, go more and beyond what he asks. And as far as you can go, God always wants to take you farther. He wants to do more. I think we limit it, God. I think we limit him. Because why? Because we might feel I'm not smart enough. I know I get that way. Or I'm not righteous enough. Or whatever it may be, we limit God. There is no bounds with God. God can do more and beyond what you could ever imagine and think. So what it comes down to, it, guys, is when you are seeking to live these six principles, what you're doing is you're desiring to live to the fullest of Christ. Because it's all done for what? Christ's sake. Not your sake, for Christ's sake. And that's what's going to help us to reach out to the lost. You can't reach the lost in your own self. Because it becomes works. It's got to be done through Christ. Now look at verse 32. This is where you pick up. And then Jesus goes on. He says this. So those are the six principles. He says this. But if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you go to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you hope to receive back, what credit is that to you? For even sinners lend to sinners to receive much back. So again, we see Jesus here teaching what he's teaching us, and what I see him saying here is that there's a difference between the character of a believer and compared to the character of a non-believer, right? Isn't there a difference? Let me ask you this. How many times have you gone somewhere and you have talked to somebody and for some reason, you just know that person's a Christian? They don't say it, but there's something about that person where the Spirit of God in you, your spirit, is in agreement with their spirit. I've done that many times, and then I go out and I say, hey, are you a Christian? And they'll say, yes, I am. And then here we go. Praise God. We're praising God. Last time I did that was at the border when we were coming back from, when I was coming back from getting treatment in Mexico. And the agent was there, and she was looking at my passport, and she says, wow, I noticed you've gone, you go a lot to China. What's that all about? And so I just said, I go and visit orphanages and everything. And she goes, praise God. And I said, praise God. When she said, praise God, I said, and also I go and I take Bibles. And she says, she lifts her hand up and she goes, praise God, real loud. And I'm like, oh, I'm thinking she's going to get in trouble here. We're talking a long line of cars. And all of a sudden, she just starts going, praise God, thank you, Jesus. And Pastor, I want to pray for you. And she goes into this prayer real loud, though. And I'm thinking, in my mind, I'm like, I'm going in the car. Can you imagine what the people behind me are thinking? They're seeing this lady. They say, praise God. And I was praying, Lord, please honor her prayer and protect her. Keep her from getting in trouble. I don't want her to get in trouble because of me. But you know what? It was awesome. I was so excited about that. So again, Jesus is teaching the difference between the character of a believer compared to the character of a non-believer. And he's pointing out that, guys, there should be a difference in character. Would you agree? Shouldn't there be a difference in character? There should be a difference in behavior. There should be a difference in actions, a difference between a heavenly character compared to a worldly character. Because aren't we one who are of a heavenly citizenship? Paul said that in Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. Listen to what he says. He says, for our citizenship is in heaven. That's where our citizenship is in. From which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly bodies that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. Isn't that great to know that our citizenship is in heaven? Yes, and you're going to get a new body. Yes, anybody here love their body? Yeah. All I see is a bunch of undercover bodybuilders and undercover undercover aerobics instructors. What? You know, I don't like my body. I love my spirit in me. That's the real me. So you're looking at me. This ain't me. Guys, this ain't me. That's why I don't fret. This ain't me. The real me's inside, my spirit. That's the part that relates to God, not the flesh. This is flesh. Paul said there's nothing good in the flesh, right? And didn't the Lord say that the flesh cannot get God glory? The real me's inside. That's the part that the spirit is willing, the flesh is weak, the part that relates to God. And one day, this is going to be broken down. This tent is going to be broken down, and I'm going to have a new body made by the hands of God. Why? Because we are of a citizenship of heaven. Amen. So I can honestly say, not only just me, but you guys are aliens, illegal aliens also. Because, right? Because where our citizenship is in heaven. So again, Jesus is saying here, as Christians, there's more to be expected from us than those who are of a worldly citizenship. So here's the point. As a Christian, our behavior must be better than a sinner's behavior. Bottom line. We know better, guys. That's why. We are not of this world, therefore we don't live or act like this world. We're in the world, Jesus said, but we're not of the world. We must be different. The world needs to see that. That's the only way they're going to know the truth, is to see the difference in us compared to what they're living. That's the difference. That's what's going to bring change to a falling world. You're not going to win them over. The enemy might use you and say, okay, go into the bar and drinks and give the gospel. Oh, okay, that's how I justify it. I go into the bar. Yeah, give me a beer. You drink with them. Hey, did you know Jesus loved you? Give me another beer. Then you're getting all drunk and you're, yeah, hurry up here. Hey, yeah, you know. Yeah, you know. It doesn't work that way. No. We have to. Yeah, but Jesus hung out with sinners. Yeah, but that's Jesus. And why did he hang out with sinners? He didn't participate in what they did. He became the example and the light. He was different. And that's how we have to follow that example. If you can go into a bar, not drink and share and witness, then yeah, go for it. You'll probably get kicked out, but go for it. You know, it's something that you got to be called to do. There's a ministry put out by The Rock and it's no guys. So don't go over there and say, hey, I want to be part of that ministry. It's a bunch of women who go into those nudie places and they witness to the girls there. Praise God. They need it too. Isn't that awesome? But you, even they need to be called to go. You got to make sure that's God's calling you to do something like that. But that's, again, we have to be different. The world needs to see that, and because that's what's going to bring change. And look at verse 32. He says, but if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them, okay? And if you do good to those who do good to you, what good is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you hope to receive back, what good is that to you? For sinners do the same thing, right? They give and they lend and they receive much back. So again, we see here in these verses, in verse 32, it tells us that sinners only love those who love them, okay? And verse 33, it says sinners only do well to those who do good to them. And verse 34, it says sinners, they lend. And many times they do it to secure interest for the purpose of what? Getting more back. You know what the sad thing about this? Is that there are many Christians who are not living as Jesus is teaching us how to live. And Jesus says here that they are doing the same as sinners do. We're not called to do the same thing. I sin. I'll be the first to say, guy, I sin, but I don't practice it. That's the difference. Is there anybody who doesn't sin here? Raise your hand, because I want to know your secret. Anybody here, how many of you do sin? How many of you blow it? How many of you blew it today coming here? Right. Yeah. It doesn't take much to blow it. Even a thought, guys, not just an action, a word, even a thought, you blow it. But what happens is we recognize where it's coming from. That's the difference. It's not coming from me. It's not coming from me. It's coming from the devil. And he's throwing it. It's a fiery dart. He shoots it in my mind. Now, what I do with it is my fault. He throws some evil thought. How many of you here in church, you sit here and you're hearing the word of God or you worship and an evil thought comes into your mind. And you think, how can I think this when I'm in church? Pastor, I thought something. Oh, no, that person's here. Yeah, a thought comes into your mind, and I'm thinking, where did that come from? That didn't come from me. That's Satan, Ephesians chapter 6. Fiery dart, shoots it in your mind. When I realize and I recognize where it comes from, then I take my thought into captivity, and I call upon the Lord, and I add other things in my mind. But if I take it and I start to entertain it and I start to believe it, I start to live it, then it's on me. I got to be responsible for it. But again, Jesus says that those in the world, again, we have to be different. And those in the world, they see this type of lifestyle and of one of loving just those who love them and only do well to those who do good, lend to those in order to get more back for the purpose of gain and from the one who's borrowing or being good and a loving. They think that's a being good and a loving person, even being a good Christian. But doing these things are not enough to bring you in the right standings with God, right? Let alone get you into heaven. Jesus didn't teach these things. In fact, Jesus said he denied himself to what? Reach a dying world. I just read the six principles that Jesus is showing us how we need to live. He said, love your enemies, do good to them. And as far as loaning to others, let me tell you this. Who gave the best loan ever? God, right? Didn't he loan his son, loan his life to us, to the world? He gave it up to the world without interest and without asking for anything in return. What if the Lord, let me ask you, what if the Lord said to you, okay, I'll accept you as my son and daughters, but first clean up your act? How many here think you can do that? You can't. That's why he said, come as you are. Jesus is love. I mean, it's easy to love those who love you, but can you love those who don't love you? I mean, Jesus was the greatest example of that. And we see that in Romans chapter 5, verse 6. Listen to what he says. Paul says, "For when we were still without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly." Jesus died for the ungodly. He didn't die for the righteous. You know what I mean? At that time, he died for us. But it's when we were for the ungodly. Romans chapter 5, verse 8, it says, "But God demonstrated his love towards us that while we were still sinners," okay, hear that? "When we were still sinners, Christ died for us." He didn't die for you when you cleaned up your act. He didn't die for you when you were the best person you could be. He died when you were the worst, when you were still sinners. And then in Romans chapter 5, verse 10, it tells us, "For when we were the enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son. And much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by life." So again, Jesus calls us to be different. This is what he's talking about. Be different than those who don't want to listen. Do the very same things that Jesus did. Deny yourself. Sacrifice yourself. And when I say sacrifice yourself, I'm going to clarify this. Peter said it best. He says that God wants a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable for his reasonable service. He don't want a dead sacrifice. He wants a living sacrifice. So when I say sacrifice yourself, don't go out and kill yourself or sacrifice yourself. I said, Pastor Steve told me to do that. It's a living sacrifice that he wants. Deny yourself. Sacrifice yourself to what? To win over others for Christ. It's not just about the virtue and the goodness and the love and the doing good and the lending to others to become followers of Christ. It takes denying oneself. It takes sacrificing yourself for the sake of reaching others for Christ. And who are those Jesus is telling us to reach? Okay, enemies. How many of you have enemies? You guys have enemies? Every one of you should be raising your hand because you got plenty of enemies. First of all, the devil's your enemy. And there are those who don't like you. There's people who don't like us here. The state is against us because they allowed us to, one day they allow us to go back into worship in the sanctuary. The very night they pulled and denied it and said, "No, you ain't going back." We have enemies. We have haters. How many people you know hate you? We have those who curse us. Those who borrowers who want to take advantage of us, those who persecute us, those who despitefully curse us and use us. There's the needful, the selfish. But the Lord helps us through all them. He helps us to do that. You know, he helps us to love them, and it's going to be done through that supernatural love, not the natural love. Guys, we're not natural, we're supernatural. God's love is supernatural. It does more than you can imagine and think. It's agape love. You can't do that in the fleshy love. You can't. You need godly love to do this, to love them. So here, look at 35 again. We're looking at this. He says, "Love your enemies. Do good to them and lend, hoping for nothing in return. And your reward," look what he says here in 35, "your reward will be great, and you will be the sons of the Most High. For he is kind to the unthankful and evil. Therefore, be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful." Wow. I know that that's how Jesus wants us to live. And I know that how Jesus wants us to live, I know that it's very challenging. Is it not? It's very challenging. I used to think that when I accept Jesus Christ, everything was going to be hunky-dory. Everything is going to be great. And the minute I accepted Jesus Christ, literally all hell broke out. Literally. Things got worse. And I couldn't understand, how is that? I'm a Christian. Jesus, I just accepted you. Everything's supposed to be great. I mean, gold's supposed to come down from heaven. And Carmen's, you know, I'm going to have her wrapped around my finger again, you know. And And I'm going to be able to accept the honey-do list. And, you know, all these things were supposed to be great, but things became worse. It became worse. Because living a Christian life, it's challenging. But listen to what he says there in verse 35. Because what Jesus says in verse 35, he says that the rewards of being obedient is much greater than the challenges. Would you agree? Yeah. Right? The reward is the promise of what? Eternal life and inheriting all that God the Father has. It's more than you. The little bit that we, isn't it interesting that we might have a lot, but we're not tied down to those things? How easy it is to let go of those things for eternal life. I'm not tied down to my house or any of the material things. That's all going to fade and rot. I'm storing up treasures in heaven where moth won't get to and rust. And most importantly, I'm going to be with my Heavenly Father. I'm looking forward to that. So again, being obedient is more rewarding than and greater than the challenges, because the reward is the promise of eternal life and inheriting all that our Father has. Because why? Guys, we're going to be called sons of the Most High. Isn't that what it says in verse 35? That we will be sons and daughters of the Most High. And all it takes is accepting His Son and what? Imitating God. He shows us love, and He loved us. And in return, He says, now show love towards your enemies. And do what good and do what is kind to the unthankful and the evil. And why? Look at verse 36. Therefore, be merciful just as your Father also is merciful. Why? Because God is merciful. And you know what? We are in end times. We are living in the times where the grace and the mercy of God is needed even more than ever. We know His judgment is coming, guys. We know He's going to come. He's going to separate good from evil. And He's going to separate the goats from the sheep. He's going to separate the righteous from the wicked. So now is the time that we need to imitate God. And we need to follow after Jesus' example of love. Of loving our enemies and blessing them if you can. And as you do, guess what? You will be seen as a child of the Most High God. Isn't that very rewarding? Slap me in the face. I'm a child of God. Because when you slap me, you slap God. I'm his child. So whatever the world does to me or whatever anybody does to me, they do it to my Father. And as a father, when I see someone mistreat or do something to my children or grandchildren, I'm going to be on them. Because I'm a father. That's the Father's love. So if I'm going to be on them, what makes you think God isn't going to? God's going to deal with them. But He's going to deal with them with righteous judgment and righteous anger. Not me. I'm going to be just angry, you know. And I hope that, you know, God, well, He always does. He always steps in our place. But again, if you do this, not only will you be seen as a child of the Most High God, but you will be seen as acting as God's children. Guys, isn't it a privilege or what a privilege it is to actually behave as God behaves? I mean, how many other gods would allow you to act like them, behave like them, to be like them? Other worldly gods, they want you to worship them. You don't put yourself in their place. We have the privilege of behaving like our God behaves. And what does He do? He shows acts of mercies. He's acting. We're called to act like God acts. So therefore, we need to be merciful as God is merciful. Amen. How many of you have experienced God's mercy lately? How many of you experienced the love of God lately? The grace of God. The peace of God. The unspeakable joy of God. It's a privilege and an honor to receive those and to expect those and to be part of that. Amen? I'm going to end it here because it's getting hot. And if I'm hot, I know you're hot. And I don't want to put you out here too long, but we'll pick up next week in verse 33. Let's just read it. Let's read 33 and 38. And then Jesus goes on. He says, judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. Again, what I just read here, I know I said I was going to stop, but I can't help it. What I just read here is so as we seek to live as Jesus commands us to live and to treat others as Jesus would treat them, and he treats Jesus, he tells us to treat others as he's been teaching us throughout this whole chapter. I mean, we've been reading it out on what Jesus has been telling us what to do and how to live and how to, and that he's going to be our strength, though. That's the difference. We're not going to do it in ourselves. We're going to do it through God, through the power of God, through the power of the Holy Spirit. As we continue to read the word, you are transformed by it. We want to be transformed. We don't want to be conformed. You know, I said I was going to stop. But I'm going to stop because then I'm going to keep going. So, and it's getting hot. Are you guys hot? No? You want me to keep going for another hour? I'll go for another hour. No, I better stop. So anyways, again, get in the Word of God. Stay in the Word of God. Look at what Jesus is saying here and be imitators of God. When you become imitators of God, if anybody comes at you, you know what? You're going to be okay because you're doing what God tells you to do. And if they have any problems, it's going to be with God. I love it when I share something with somebody and they don't agree with me or they don't like what I'm saying. I just say, hey, I'm not saying it. It says right here. Read it yourself. They can't fight against it. God said it. But if I say it for myself, I'll give my opinion, then it can always be challenged, but not the Word of God. The Word of God speaks for itself, and it's all truth, and it is dividing the spirit and the flesh, the soul and the spirit, and nothing can come against it, and this will last forever. Everything else is going to fade. This is the only thing that will last. And even what I just said today in myself will fade, but the Word of God will not. That's going to stay, and that's what's not going to go void in our lives. Amen? Let's pray. Father God, we do thank you for your word. And Lord, I thank you for your word that is sharper than any two-edged sword. That, Father, your word, it divides and it separates us from the natural, the world, the flesh. And it helps us, that keep us in the spirit, keeps us in our relationship with you. It's our life. And thank you that I'll never forget what Pastor Bobby taught one time. And he held the Bible out, and this really changed my life. He said, this is not out of your reach. I used to think that there's no way we can live the Bible. The Bible is not out of our reach. It's our life. It's our manual. And as we read it, we are transformed by it. So let us be a written epistle, read and known by all men. Like Paul said, let us be that Bible, that one Bible that somebody might only read. They might not read the Bible, but they'll read our lives, and may we be that Bible for them. So bless us, Lord, and bless the word. And Father, I pray for everybody here that, Lord, whatever they are going through, Father, that you would reveal to them and let them see that you order the steps of the righteous, that your will is better, that you know what's better for us, Lord. Even if it doesn't look like you're there, you're still working. So thank you, Father, and we do give you all the glory and all the honor. Praise you, Jesus, and we do pray you come quickly. And we thank you, Lord, and we ask this and we in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. 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 Praise God. I loved it out here, you know. This is great. It's pretty good, right? Man, it would be even greater if we had breakfast burritos. Oh, yeah. Okay, the bags are out there. We prayed for it already. Before you go, just drop the offering off in the bags right there where Tony's at. Or you can go online and you can give that way as well. God bless everybody. Keep praying, though. Keep praying.